News. I'm Barton Eckert. Thousands of mourners gathered in Baghdad for a funeral procession through the streets for Iran's top general and militant leaders killed in a U.S. airstrike. Iran promising to seek revenge for the airstrike near Baghdad's airport that killed Iran's top general Qasem Soleimani. Correspondent Nick Robertson in Saudi Arabia says the country to watch now in the Middle East is Russia.
There's no doubt that what we're witnessing at the moment, it has a real potential to A, escalate, but B, change the geopolitical power dynamics in the Middle East, and potentially not in the U.S. favor.
Correspondent Fred Plotkin, reporting in Tehran, says Iran is making very clear that wherever U.S. forces are in the Middle East, Iranian-backed forces are very close by.
In the past, what the Iranians have told us is they say, look, the United States needs to understand that next to every American military base here in this region, there is an Iranian militia or some sort of group that is controlled by the Iranians right next door. So the U.S. definitely needs to be on the lookout for that.
For the first time in history, California could lose some influence in Washington. Our Jim Roop reports the 2020 census could result in the Golden State losing a congressional seat.
For every House and Senate seat, a state gets one Electoral College vote. Now, California losing more than 200,000 people between 2018 and 2019. It could be reduced from 55 down to 54 electoral votes after the upcoming census calculation. State lawmakers would also have to redraw district lines. And the area most likely to lose a representative is Los Angeles.
An armed robbery suspect surrendered to police after holding a woman hostage at an Illinois bank for more than 6 hours. Rockford Police Chief Dan O'Shea says the suspect willingly walked out of the Heritage Credit Union along with the hostage. I'm Barton Eckert.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media. Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation.
Call us now at 800-716-0457. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-716-0457. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-716-0457. Again, 800-716-0457.
The NFL playoffs begin today with games in Texas and Massachusetts.
It's been nearly a quarter century since the Buffalo Bills won a postseason game, and there's another chance today against the Houston Texans on the road. Houston has lost three of its last four playoff games, including almost exactly 1 year ago to the Colts. The late AFC matchup has the Tennessee Titans at the New England Patriots, a rematch of an easy Patriots win 2 years ago, but the defending Super Bowl champs finished the regular season losing 3 out of 5. The NFC's wildcard round is tomorrow, Vikings at Saints and Seahawks at Eagles. The NFL's top four teams, the Ravens, Chiefs, 49ers, and Packers, are all off and will play this weekend's winners next weekend. I'm Joe Ramsey.
Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison has called up about 3,000 reservists as the threat of wildfires has escalated in at least three Australian states. 23 deaths have been confirmed, including two on Saturday. I'm Barton Eckert.
Hey, check out this report of our Office 365 email and the threats sitting in users' inboxes.
Wow, how did you get this?
There's a free tool called Barracuda Email Threat Scanner that can quickly and safely scan our Office 365 email for hidden threats like spear phishing and domain fraud.
Really?
Yeah, Barracuda Email Threat Scanner identifies hidden threats and employees most at risk for a cyber attack, all summarized in a complete report.
This is great.
Get your free email threat scan now at barracuda.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Looking at Capital Area traffic, it's not the traffic you have to worry about, it's the fog. Dense fog advisories for the entire area for the next several hours. Take your time as you drive. You could have good visibility one moment and very limited visibility the next. No incidents or accidents to speak of. 95 BW Parkway looking good around the Beltway, inner and outer loop. No problems or issues. The 95 and 66 run and 267, they're all up to speed or maybe a little below speed. Just take your time as you drive.
It's now a distinct honor and privilege to welcome to the Larry O'Connor Show with President Donald Trump. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Larry, and I greatly appreciate the nice things you've said.
Where Washington's power players come to talk.
Newt Gingrich, morning, Mr. Speaker.
Well, it's always great to be with you guys. It's just fun.
Thank you so much.
WMAL.
Mike Lee, Senator of Utah. Thank you for joining us, Senator Lee.
Thank you. It's an honor to be with you.
105.9 FM.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's good to join you.
Washington's Mall. WMAL.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
It's often said that the only sure things in life are death and taxes. But there's definitely a third one, and that's change. Life is full of inevitable changes, and your success and happiness can depend on how you respond to changes you face. I'm Scott Trout, attorney and CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. We help men deal with the life changes triggered by divorce, such as child custody and property division, among many others. But life changes also occur after divorce. These changes can make parts of your existing court order irrelevant or harder to follow. In either case, you need the support of a trusted legal partner. Talk to us at Cordell & Cordell. We're a partner men can count on, and that never changes.
Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Fairfax area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 571-446-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Office in Falls Church.
Get the travel upgrade that beats all others. TSA PreCheck. Faster lines, a seamless process, and a smoother journey. Keep those smooth travels coming after October 1st, 2020 by getting your Real ID compliant driver's license today. Learn more at TSA.gov.
Pop quiz. If you sell a home for $500,000, how much would a traditional real estate agent charge in commission? If you guessed $25,000 to $30,000, you're right. But if you think that's the only way, you're wrong. This is why thousands of homeowners are making the switch to Rex. With Rex, you get a dedicated agent and a full-service experience at a fraction of the cost. Rex uses game-changing technology to cut out the middleman and save homeowners tens of thousands of dollars in fees. See if you qualify by calling 833-REX-HOME. Remember, this is your home. Why give an insane amount of equity away to an agent? Rex offers the lowest fee in the industry without skimping on service. You'll work with an experienced real estate team with you every step of the way. Get the most out of your home. See if you qualify by calling 833-REX-HOME. 833-REX-HOME.
REO 2002-00541.
Minimum fee may apply. Not licensed in all 50 states. Visit rexhomes.com to see if Rex is available in your area. Rex fully supports the principles of the Fair Housing Act and Equal Opportunity Act.
3 days only. The Washington Camping RV Expo is at the Dulles Expo Center, January 10th through the 12th. Whether you're a seasoned RVer or just getting started, there's something for you. RVs for every budget and camping style will be on display. Take advantage of show-only pricing and incentives.
Shop a large selection of RV and outdoor accessories. Speak with campgrounds and resorts. Enjoy free educational seminars and more.
Buy now and save only at the Dulles Expo Center, January 10th through the 12th. Visit WashingtonRVExpo.com.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console this morning, and it is good to have you with us. And obviously, we have a lot to cover, the latest on the situation with Iran and Iraq. And we will be covering that this morning with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. We've got KT McFarland. Cheryl Atkinson will join us later on. John Gizzi will join us with the political side of things here in the nation's capital. Jennifer Harper joins us as well, and she has perspective. So a lot to cover, obviously, this morning on the Saturday Morning Update. And this morning, there is a funeral procession underway in Iraq for General Soleimani and the others killed in the attack on Thursday night. That procession underway in Iraq, it will move to Iran when his body lands in Tehran. Reaction from around the world, some positive, some negative. Obviously, we have heard from the Democrats, and we understand what kind of a response we would expect from them in an election year. And we'll have sound bites from Democrats as well as Republicans this morning. But I think to take it back, we will let the president put it in perspective as to how we got where we are with the attack and killing of General Qasem Soleimani, the head of the elite Iranian Quds Force.
As president, my highest and most solemn duty is the defense of our nation and its citizens. Last night, at my direction, the United States military successfully executed a flawless precision strike that killed the number one terrorist anywhere in the world, Qasem Soleimani.
So that's President making the announcement the other night at Mar-a-Lago. And it, again, has gotten so much response. I thought there was a very interesting perspective. Everybody's sort of saying, why now? And why did the president take this action? And was it a sort of a cowboy approach of the president once again? Is he trying to lead us into a war after he has said he is not going to be leading us into war? And there's a very interesting perspective this morning. It was on the CNN newsroom report this morning. And she's a member of a think tank in Great Britain. And I just, this is just fresh. It's this morning that she made these comments. And I thought it was very interesting in the perspective that she puts on the Americans. Now, again, this is a British think tank, so she is not an American politician. The way she approaches this is a perspective that I had not heard on it from Lena Khatib. She is with the think tank in Great Britain.
Well, if you look at what the United States is trying to do, they are saying, meaning the Trump administration, that they want to restart negotiations with Iran. Negotiations not about the nuclear deal, but about Iran's regional role as well. And an American official said yesterday that in killing Soleimani, the United States is speaking to Iran in a language that the regime understands. And that's why that official said, who was anonymous, that he said it is not expected that Iran is going to launch large-scale retaliation. So I think this is what the U.S. thinking when it comes to saying it's not about starting a war, it's about stopping a war.
And that's Lena Khatib, and she's with the Middle East and North Africa program at Chatham House. And Chatham House is the Royal Institute of International Affairs. Again, it's a British think tank. That's the whole question. Is it an act of war or an act to avoid war? And that is the question that is being asked around the world this morning. It's 6:13. It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. We're going to check the traffic and weather, and then we will have more on the latest in Iraq and Iran. Bill Fontes in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Looking at area traffic, well, it's hard to look at. There's dense fog warnings all around the area. Take your time as you drive. Low beams are best in the fog, and just allow a little extra time as you're driving. There is a crash at Gorman Road at Murray Hill Road in Prince George's County. Take your time as you head through there. Elsewhere, things are doing okay. Everything pretty much wide open around the Beltway inner and outer loop. No problems on 95 or the BW Parkway. Same story, 95 in Virginia and 66 as well as 267. They're all up to speed. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We have got wet weather around the Washington area this morning. And we're looking ahead over the weekend. We've got some rain showers this afternoon with a high of 59. For tomorrow, sunshine, high temperature 45 on Sunday. Sunny on Monday with a high of 50. Some afternoon showers Tuesday. Sunshine Wednesday with a high of 43. Outside in Washington, foggy in some areas. It's 52 right now, and we're headed to 59. It's quarter after six on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Thousands of mourners are marching in a funeral procession right now through Baghdad. And, of course, that is for Iranian top general Qasem Soleimani. And, again, he was the head of Iran's Quds force and masterminding its regional security strategy. A lot of people are asking sort of why now? Why did the president make this move at this time? And here's how Secretary of State Mike Pompeo explained the strategy.
President Trump made the decision, a serious decision, which was necessary. There was an imminent attack. The orchestrator, the primary motivator for the attack was Qasem Soleimani, attempt to disrupt that plot.
So here's some comments that Congressman Dan Crenshaw made yesterday, and I think he helps to put it in perspective. And it's a question that I would ask is, Iran continued to take jabs at the United States, and how long does one allow Iran to do that? Obviously, it is a very difficult situation, but here's how Congressman Crenshaw summed it up.
Here's the thing. We have to just abuse ourselves of this notion that we should simply continue to take punches. Okay, Iran right. attacked our base recently. Then they attacked our embassy where they fully supported the Shia militias that did attack our embassy and base. Are we supposed to just let that happen? And to say yes would be absurd, and I don't understand when Americans become so fearful. You know, we've had countless people on the left tweeting out apologies and slamming our own government for taking action to kill a man who has killed Americans. And I don't understand where this American self-loathing yeah. came from, and frankly, thank God they're not in charge.
So that's Congressman Dan Crenshaw. He was speaking on the Fox News Channel yesterday. And here's, I think, some of what he's reacting to. This is Senator Chris Murphy. And he is echoing one of the talking points yesterday that we heard in the criticism, using the term assassination of Soleimani. And here's Senator Chris Murphy, the Democrat from Connecticut.
Maybe it had the effect in the short run of preventing this attack. Maybe there were other ways to prevent this attack through military action other than assassination.
Okay, that was a Democratic talking point yesterday. Debbie Wasserman Schultz emerged from irrelevance for the day, making these comments about it.
This action was taken more in President Trump's self-interest rather than our national interest.
I'm not sure where that comes from, except that I guess there's some attempt there to say that he's trying to take the spotlight off of impeachment. I really don't think that's the rationale behind it. If you listen to the Secretary of State, to the National Security Advisor, to the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, there's more to it than Trump's self-interest, Congressman Wasserman Schultz. Another one. This one kind of cracked me up. It's a short little clip here. This is Jonathan Alter. He's one of the pundits over at MSNBC, and I found this interesting. listen to it, and then we'll talk about it for a second.
Right decision, wrong commander-in-chief.
Right decision, but wrong commander-in-chief. So I guess where he was going with that is, well, you know, Trump's not the guy because he doesn't have the strategy, yada, yada, yada. But it is the right decision. What's interesting is no one else has made a similar right decision in the Obama administration or the Bush administration, for that matter. At least we had the right decision, even though Jonathan Alter, speaking on MSNBC, says that it was not the right commander-in-chief. Anyway, amazing situation. We've got more audio coming up for you. It is the Saturday Morning Update, and we're at 620.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m.
The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Hi, this is Eric Stewart. If you've been playing with the idea of selling your home or maybe downsizing, well, tune in to my show Sunday mornings right here at 8 a.m. There I'll bring you this week's local real estate news and what you need to do to get top dollar for your property. With over 30 years of experience and the backing of Long & Foster, one of the top real estate companies, I've pretty much seen and sold it all. To learn more, check us out on the web at ericstewartgroup.com.
Dear customer service, I can always count on Novak. My power is always on, my payments always go through, and Novak actually cares about the community they serve.
Dear Novak, your electric costs are reasonable. Some electricity is from alternative sources, and cost reductions are passed along during the year. Thanks.
Novak, power you can count on.
Hey, check out this report of our Office 365 email and the threats sitting in users' inboxes.
Wow, how did you get this?
There's a free tool called Barracuda Email Threat Scanner that can quickly and safely scan our Office 365 email for hidden threats like spear phishing and domain fraud.
Really?
Yeah, Barracuda Email Threat Scanner identifies hidden threats and employees most at risk for a cyber attack, all summarized in a complete report.
This is great.
Get your free email threat scan now at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media.
Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation.
Call us now at 800-716-0457. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-716-0457. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-716-0457. Again, 800-716-0457.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, obviously talking about the situation with Iran, the attack on General Soleimani in Iraq on Thursday night. And a lot of people, of course, are asking the questions, why now? What's behind it? Was this Trump kind of doing his own thing? Was he listening to the national security advisors? And a couple of notes, the National Security Advisor is Robert C. O'Brien. He had a conference call with reporters last night, and he said that the strike on Soleimani happened after Soleimani recently visited Damascus and was plotting to target U.S. military and diplomatic personnel. O'Brien said on the call, quote, "This strike was aimed at disrupting ongoing attacks that were being planned by Soleimani and deterring future Iranian attacks through their proxies or through the Quds Force directly against Americans." Now, I don't know if you've seen Robert C. O'Brien on some of the talk shows, but he's very tempered and a very credible spokesperson for the administration. He was speaking with reporters last night. Also, the Army General, Mark Milley, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said in a meeting with reporters on Friday that Soleimani was killed after U.S. officials recently became aware of intelligence that showed the, quote, "size, scale, scope of what he was planning led them to conclude there was a greater risk in not taking the action than in doing so." He said, "Is there risk? Damn right there's risk. But we're mitigating, and we think we're taking appropriate mitigations." So obviously a very difficult situation in the Mideast. And, you know, the military leaders here seem to be in sync on it. Obviously the Democrats aren't. We had a little bit of the sound earlier of some of their responses. Chris Van Hollen,
now senator in Maryland, former Montgomery County congressman. He's concerned about the situation. Here's how he summed it up.
I'm very concerned. Obviously, we need to do what's necessary to protect the lives of Americans. But unfortunately, the actions this administration has taken for weeks and months now have taken a very difficult situation and made it much worse.
Senator Cory Booker, still on the campaign trail, he's got a lot of questions.
Anytime a president uses military force in this manner, there are standards which govern, laws that guide the actions of a United States president. And so we still have a lot of questions that need to be answered with this use of military force, what the consequences could be, and what the appropriate consultations or involvement of Congress was.
So that's Senator Cory Booker speaking yesterday. So you get a sense of where the Democrats are on this. Biden said it was like throwing a grenade into it, but I don't know. I'd prefer to see a little more unity among our leaders when you've got somebody like Soleimani and the entire Iranian regime and what they have been plotting, and we take action and get as much criticism internally as we get externally on the move. But a bold move by President Trump. Kind of an interesting aside here. The Ayatollah Ali Khamenei warned the U.S. the other day after we were fighting off the attack at the embassy, and the Iranian supreme leader raged at, quote, illogical Donald Trump, vowed to fight back at the U.S. as the tensions were exploding. This was before the attack on the general. And Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, warned the U.S., quote, cannot do a damn thing as pro-Iran protesters firebombed the compound for a second day earlier in the week. The U.S. cannot do a damn thing. Well, the U.S. took action. 6:27 now on the Saturday morning update.
You can have the convenience of teeth in a day with a 10-year warranty on implants from a dentist who has more than 30 years of experience and a team that treats you like family. Hi, I'm Dr. Alex McMillan of McMillan Sedation Dentistry, and I can restore a single tooth or provide full mouth restoration with a variety of sedation options to keep you completely relaxed and comfortable. Did you know losing one or more of your teeth can affect your smile, your ability to chew properly, and cause the appearance of premature aging? In most cases, you'll have a beautiful new smile you love in a single visit. For our high-fear patients, we offer gentle sedation options along with spa-quality comforts to pamper and relax you. And my team will work with you to tailor a treatment plan to fit your schedule and financial considerations. McMillan Sedation Dentistry. Quality, excellence, and comfort. Call 703-503-9490. Learn more and see our smile gallery at smileeasy.com. That's smileeasy.com.
Rush Limbaugh has revolutionized the media and political landscape with his unprecedented combination of serious discussion of the issues and satirical and biting humor.
I amaze myself.
His status as America's number one talk show host has been a tremendous asset to advertising partners in D.C. and across the country.
Oh, yes.
Deliver your message to this loyal audience today. Visit WMAL.com/advertise-rush. WMAL.com/advertise-rush.
Rush gets results.
Where Washington's power players come to talk.
Hello, Mr. Vice President. Mike Pence is here. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
And listen.
I listen every morning as I drive to the office.
WMAL.
Secretary of Housing and Urban Development and a good friend of the program, Dr. Ben Carson.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Senator Tom Cotton.
Thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Kellyanne Conway.
It's great to be with you.
Well, thank you for being here
on 105.9 FM.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's good to join you.
Washington's Mall. WMAL.
Is your portfolio constructed to weather the stormy ups and downs of the financial markets? Your financial advisor can evaluate the good and bad news and help make sure your account is positioned appropriately. Hi, I'm Greg Smith, co-host of WMAL's Wise Investor Show, heard every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. We manage investments for our clients, so give us a call. We think we can help.
Call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed, wise investor.
It's 6:30, and in the news, thousands of mourners are marching in a funeral procession through Baghdad for General Qasem Soleimani, killed on Thursday night in a U.S. airstrike. The protesters are chanting, "America is the great Satan." The U.S. and Iran have been sliding toward an open conflict since President Trump withdrew from the U.S. and the Tehranian nuclear deal with world powers. Saudi Arabia has called for de-escalation, warning of unbearable consequences. You may have seen a report last night about another attack, but a coalition spokesman is denying that a convoy that included Iran-backed popular mobilization forces was hit by an airstrike in Iraq on Saturday morning. This is a report from CNN. The PMF had said that an airstrike killed and wounded several of its forces near northern Baghdad's Taji camp, but Colonel Miles Kagans III is a spokesman for Operation Inherent Resolve, the coalition forces. He says, quote, "The coalition did not conduct airstrikes near the camp north of Baghdad in recent days." Iraq's Joint Operations Command also denying reports that an airstrike took place. So if you saw those reports last night, that is the very latest. The Australian Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, has called up about 3,000 reservists as the threat of wildfires has escalated in at least three states in Australia. 23 deaths have been confirmed so far this summer. It is summer in Australia. It includes two today in Australia. And he says, quote, "We are facing another extremely difficult 24 hours. He confirmed that he has canceled visits to India and Japan later in the month. One of the biggest threats to the United States after the targeted killing of Iran's top general is likely to be cyber attacks. The U.S. power grid is supposed to be quite resilient, but Iranian estate-backed hackers could inject malware that triggers major disruptions to the U.S. public and private sector. Potential targets, including manufacturing facilities, oil and gas plants, and transit systems. Iranian state-backed hackers have carried out a series of disruptive denial-of-service attacks that knocked out major U.S. bank websites, knocked them offline in 2012. That was in response to U.S. sanctions. 2 years later, they wiped servers clean at a Las Vegas casino. A group of United Methodist Church leaders from around the world and across ideological divides is proposing an amicable separation. The proposal is to create a new conservative denomination. Members of the 13 million person denomination have been at odds for years over issues of gay marriage and gay clergy. The proposal is called a Protocol of Reconciliation and Grace Through Separation. Envisions a separation in which conservative churches forming a new denomination would retain their assets. It's 6:33. This is the Saturday Morning Update, and Bill Fontes in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Looking at traffic in the area, we've got dense fog warnings throughout the entire area for the next several hours. Take your time as you drive. Remember, low beams are what you want in fog. As you head around the Beltway inner and outer loop all the way around, no problems or issues, no road work to slow you down. You're looking good on Route 50 out to and across the Bay Bridge. 95 BW Parkway up to speed in Maryland, and 95 in Virginia looks good down to Fredericksburg and back. No problems on 66, 267, or even 295 as you head through the district. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
For today, we've got showers. They're lingering around this morning. Expect about a 50-50 chance of rain the remainder of the day. High temperature today, 59. For tomorrow, sunshine, 45 for the high. Sunny on Monday with a high of 50. Afternoon showers Tuesday with a high of 45, sunshine Wednesday, high 43. Right now in Washington, the temperature standing at 52. Beware, a fog advisory is in effect until 8 a.m. in the metro area. Our high expected today, 59. It's 6:35 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Divorce is never an easy decision, nor should it be. You didn't get married to get divorced, and if your thinking is right, you won't choose divorce when good alternatives exist. Having said that, If you're a man facing divorce, you should know that, like many things in life, timing is important. Too often guys find themselves in a divorce court when their businesses are thriving, when their investments are appreciating, and their income soaring. Not surprisingly, these conditions tend to produce more painful property divisions and richer support orders. The reverse is typically true when men are in less favorable financial circumstances, when their assets and their ability to pay are diminished. My point is simply this. Divorce may make the most sense for men when they can least afford it. Think about it.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Fairfax area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 571-446-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Office in Falls Church.
You're listening to the Saturday Morning Update. A Happy New Year to you. We're joined by Jennifer Harper. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Thank you for coming back again in 2020.
Wow, I wouldn't be anywhere else. Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks.
It's great to get your impressions because you follow the media so closely. And we saw the media reaction to the precision airstrike as the U.S. took out General Soleimani, who has been on the terror list since 2005. The media had some very interesting reactions.
Well, yes, it was certainly an event that was open to interpretation. It was very sudden. It came right in the middle of the holidays and so forth. And we just saw a whole wide swath of reactions, which, you know, indicated that Trump had started a war or Trump was a hero. It was interesting how that worked out. But I did a little research, Rick, and I found out that the media... Some of the coverage in the media has been predicting World War III for months. I mean, how about that? I went through and found quite a few headlines. Like Newsweek had a headline in mid-June that said, World War III, how likely is it the U.S. will fight in Iran, North Korea, Syria, Ukraine, or Venezuela? So, I mean, that's kind of the environment that this was landing in, so to speak. And as you mentioned, it's been subject to a lot of interpretation, but I think another thing we have to find out, Rick, is what happened on social media after this particular airstrike. And on Friday, yesterday, the leading stories, the leading subjects on on Twitter in particular was World War III. That's all people were thinking about. I don't know if that was a media influence or if they were all just trying to be comedians, because there was a lot of funny stuff on there. But the hashtags WW3, WW3 with numerals, and World War III, those were all leading Twitter. And we're talking about something like 2 million tweets by yesterday afternoon. And these subject matter completely blew off those typical topics that you see on Twitter, like Friday Feeling and Friday Thought. So the public was very much engaged here, and certainly the global press was also reporting that this particular incident had completely rattled their social media as well. So it's kind of an indicator as to where the media is going. I mean, they can make all their reports and interpret it as much as they want, but the social media in many, many countries, I had reports from India, from Abu Dhabi, from the United Kingdom, and so forth, all talking about how the public was reacting on social media, and some of those comments were quite comedic when they were talking about World War III. So we'll have to see how this shakes out, Rick.
We have a new year, and with a new year, even more new choices for where we get information, where we get media, where we get entertainment, whether it's YouTube videos, whether it's downloading our favorite TV show or the most recent radio show we missed. What are the Nielsen ratings showing about current trends?
Well, I think the biggest trend that emerged at the end of the year was all about Fox News. I mean, this is a pretty amazing network sometime, because I don't know if our listeners know, but Fox News has been the nation's number one cable news channel for 18 years. Straight. There you go. I mean, I don't know what to say to CNN and MSNBC, but Fox News continues to do something right, because they have been the number one cable news channel for 18 years. Again, that's coming from Nielsen. And at the year end, Fox News sent me a little notice that said they have now garnered their highest rated year in its 23-year history. 23 years, they've got their highest ratings, which again is an indicator that this is a group that's doing something right. We can't really define what it is just between you and me, but they're appealing to a lot of people. I mean, essentially, on average, they have 2.5 million primetime viewers. This is according to Nielsen Media Research. And they finished 2019 as the most watched network in the entire cable realm. I mean, this is against HGTV, the Food Network, ESPN, and everyone else. And this is for the fourth consecutive year. And that is in both prime time and throughout the day. And in many ways, it's kind of a telling finding because it tells you what Americans are interested in looking at. I mean, I love watching stuff about home and garden myself. But the fact that Fox News and all of its content is ruling the roost in the entire cable realm is pretty amazing. And I do have an interesting little quote here sent over from two leaders over there at Fox News. That would be Fox News Media CEO Suzanne Scott and Fox News Media President and Executive Editor Jay Wallace. This is what they say, very simply. Fox News Channel continues to exert its dominance in cable television as the country experiences what may be one of the most fervent news cycles in history. And we are proud to provide our audience with news and opinion that they can trust across a variety of programming. So, again, a little round of applause there for Fox News as we hit 2020.
Fourth quarter of 2019, fundraising numbers are in. Bernie Sanders seems to be back on track after a heart attack.
Yeah, this is really quite a surprise. I mean, you know, whenever you hear about how much money the Trump campaign has raised, it's just completely off the scale. But let's take a look at Senator Bernie Sanders because he's back on the map because he beat out all of his Democratic rivals in terms of fundraising. He's doing okay. The news media is still pretty friendly to him, and his campaign events are very crowded and very lively, and he's got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with him on occasion. And a lot of the public does not remember so much that he had a very sudden heart attack only 3 months ago. He's back on the road. But anyway, the Vermont self-described socialist, he appears to be in full stride as a candidate right now, and he's got some pretty good numbers to back that out, back that up. And so here's what they have to say. His donations were an average size of $18.53. And he has brought in $34.5 million in the last 3 months of the year. And that far exceeds his nearest rival, Pete Buttigieg, who had $24.7 million in his campaign war chest. And according to Election Central, always a good site to watch if you're wondering about anything about the election, in total, Bernie brought in over $97 million in 2019. And still has $88 million remaining cash on hand. As it stands, Bernie's the front runner in terms of the money raised, and no other candidate so far has come close. Again, that's coming from Election Central. And there's a lot of folks that also are looking at the chances of maybe Mr. Sanders would end up being the nominee. And he's got a lot of competition. You know, of course, there's President Trump's campaign has more money than anybody. And former Vice President Joe Biden, he's got still got that name recognition, and he's been kind of polishing up his Smiling Joe image. Let's take a look at what The Hill had to say. Sanders has his vulnerabilities. Ill feelings linger in some quarters of the party from his long 2016 campaign against Hillary Clinton, and centrists frequently voice fears that he could be too far to the left for the nation at large. Again, this is coming from The Hill, but they say, even if Sanders won both Iowa and New Hampshire, the party establishment would almost certainly try to block his path to the nomination. But there is no guarantee Sanders has a real shot of becoming the nominee. Again, this is The Hill talking about this, but that's an update on Bernie Sanders. We haven't talked about him in quite a while.
I watched a documentary over the weekend on President Reagan and his efforts to tear down the Berlin Wall, which he was successful at. And I've heard the term Reagan scholar, and I know you wrote about this recently. What does it take to be a Reagan scholar?
Well, actually, the Ronald Reagan Institute. This is a part of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation. They are looking for some scholars. Kind of calling all scholars, particularly if you are a Reagan person. This organization is now seeking applications from recent PhD recipients. They have a new postdoctoral visiting fellows program, and this is meant to, quote, complete President Reagan's unfinished work and to preserve the timeless principles he championed, individual liberty, economic opportunity, democracy, and national pride. And this is a fellowship that's going to be right here in D.C. It says visiting fellows will be selected based on the relevance of their research to these principles. Proposals will also be judged on the likelihood of completion of a book manuscript during the fellowship period, and the applicants just have to submit proof of having defended their dissertation by August 15th of this year, and the fellowship itself runs for a year beginning in September. And of interest to our PhD folks, there is a $75,000 stipend and an additional $5,000 for expenses, so that's pretty interesting. And I can't dilly-dally on this one. The applications close on March the 2nd. You can find all this at the ronaldreaganinstitute.org, and you can look under scholarship there. And that was in the Beltway column. If you get lost, either look in the Beltway column or give me a call and I'll help you out. But it's an interesting opportunity for someone who has a PhD and is appreciative of Reagan principles.
We can't put the New Year's Eve celebration and all the talk of New Year's resolutions in the rearview mirror without poll numbers. What do you got?
Well, of course I have a poll. Good morning, everybody. It's me and the polls. Anyway, here we go. Not that many people have resolutions, according to this. This is a national poll conducted by YouGov, and it was released on Wednesday. It's very current. And just slightly more than a quarter of Americans say they are trying to keep their New Year's resolutions. That is 28% of Americans say they're trying to keep those resolutions. And 78% of that group are confident that they will stick to their resolutions. And if you're curious about what people center their resolutions are, well, most of them is about how they look and how much money they got. Anyway, let's move right into the numbers here. 50% plan to exercise more. 49% want to save money. 43% plan to eat healthy. 37% to lose weight. 34% to reduce stress. 30% vow to both get more sleep and also to stick to a budget. 28% plan to increase their, quote, spiritual growth. 25% want to learn a new skill. And last but not least, 24% hope to improve their, quote, family relationships or their relations with their spouse. So there you go. Again, this is a YouGov poll of close to 2,000 adults conducted in December and released right on Wednesday.
So I listened very carefully to every one of those that you mentioned, and every one of those will be right out the window by the end of January for everybody. Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times, thank you very much, and you have a Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody.
6:48, it is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Coming up, we'll talk with John Gizzi. We'll get the political ramifications of Iran and our strike on General Soleimani. We'll talk with Cheryl Atkison coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We've got Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer with us, and we'll go through all the military aspects of the strike, what to expect next, capabilities, and then we'll talk with KT McFarland about the foreign policy aspects. And one question for KT is, when she became the Deputy National Security Advisor, what did she inherit when she came into the White House right after the inauguration? The history of Iran, our policy toward Iran. So interesting conversation coming up with KT McFarland in the 7 o'clock hour as well. Right now, time for a check of the traffic and weather. And Bill Fonte's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Looking at capital area traffic, it's fog that's out there. Fog warnings for the next several hours. Dense fog, so use caution as you drive. They've got a crash in Laurel Gorman Road at Murray Hill Road. Use caution through there. Other than that, you're looking good on the majors. 270, 95, BW Parkway, Route 50, all checking out okay. Capital Beltway, inner and outer loop from Maryland to Virginia. Everything up to speed and doing just fine in 95 down to Fredericksburg and back all the way to the 14th Street Bridge. You should be good to go. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Showers around the area this morning. We'll have a temperature of 59 this afternoon. For tomorrow, sunshine, high of 45. Sunny on Monday with a high of 50. Afternoon showers Tuesday, high 45. And on Wednesday, sunshine with a high of 43. Outside in Washington, 52. A dense fog advisory in effect until 8 o'clock this morning. 52 right now, heading up to 59. And it's 6:50 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is a Saturday Morning Update, and we've been talking a lot about Iran, Iraq, the foreign policy strategies. How about the campaign? What is the very latest here in domestic politics? Well, Julian Castro has dropped out of the race. We'll talk about it in detail with John Gizzi, but here's what he had to say.
So today it's with a heavy heart and with profound gratitude that I will suspend my campaign for president. I'm so thankful to all of our supporters, the folks who knocked doors, made phone calls, donated, or told their friends and family about our bold vision to put people first.
I'm sorry, but the music behind that, it's like being in a movie theater and the buildup, and it's like, I'm out. I failed. But the music was very dramatic. I don't know, something about the music behind him didn't quite work. For me, for my taste. So Julian is out, and again, we'll find out what's next for him when we talk to John Gizzi. Another candidate making a statement end of the week, Marianne Williamson. Here's what she had to say. I am extremely grateful for the contributions that poured into the campaign over the last 2 days of 2019. They have enabled us to pay down an accumulating campaign debt. We've had a wonderful team, but as of today, we cannot afford a traditional campaign staff. This is a written statement. I am not suspending my candidacy. However, a campaign not having a huge war chest should not be what determines its fate. And she goes on. So I guess what she's saying is, I have no more campaign staff. I'm deeply in debt, but I'm not out of the race. So wouldn't be holding out too much hope there, nor would I be sending checks in her direction. So we just talked about the campaign numbers with Jennifer Harper a few minutes ago, and that leads us to impeachment. What's the latest on impeachment? Well, as of late last night, the articles of impeachment were still over in the House. They have not been sent to the Senate, and I think McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, sums it up as to where we stand at week's end.
About this fantasy that the Speaker of the House will get to hand design the trial proceedings in the Senate, that's obviously a non-starter.
So the standoff continues. Not much to report on the impeachment process. There's talk that Democrats may want to file more articles of impeachment. We'll see where that goes. So that's a look kind of at the domestic policy scene quickly. And again, we'll get into more details very shortly with John Gizzi, who, of course, is the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Now, we do have a lot of folks that tune into the Saturday Morning Update that are not able to stay on top of every minute of breaking news throughout the week. So sometimes what we like to do is try and put some things into perspective. And you're aware that there was an attack on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad this week, a significant attack. And right after that, the Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, issued this statement that I think, in retrospect, now that we've seen what has happened, quite ominous.
I'm not going to telegraph what we're going to do, but people know that we have vast capability to do any number of things. We will act in response to actions by Iran or its proxies, and we will act to preempt any attacks on our forces, our personnel, by Iran or its proxies.
So, of course, Secretary of Defense Esper talking about a preemptive strike. And the president has spoken quite a bit over the last 2 days about this. He was down in Miami yesterday at a conference of evangelicals. But prior to that, he made some comments, and we put together just a little bit of a montage to give you a sense of where the president's mind was when he made the decision.
We took action last night to stop a war. We did not take action to start a war. Under my leadership, America's policy is unambiguous to terrorists who harm or intend to harm any American. We will find you. We will eliminate you. We take comfort in knowing that his reign of terror is over. Soleimani has been perpetrating acts of terror to destabilize the Middle East for the last 20 years. What the United States did yesterday should have been done long ago.
And again, this is one of those situations where no United States politician that I'm aware of has the solution, has the magic bullet to solve the problem with Iran. So the president, again, thinking out of the box and apparently in lockstep with his national security team. You know, there's always talk about the president doesn't listen to the national security team, goes out on a limb, does his own thing. Sounds to me from all of the comments I've heard that everybody was in agreement on this one. So the president taking a bold move, and obviously in an election year, the Democrats not showing a tremendous amount of support for the president on this one. So that's disappointing, but to be expected, especially in this polarized age, and especially with the team of Democrats that are in at this point in the Senate and the House. I want to turn to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. We played a little bit of sound from him earlier, but here's a little more detailed sound on the Secretary of State's attitudes about this. And as you recall, he was also the director of the CIA prior to becoming Secretary of State.
You all have been talking this morning about the history of who Qasem Soleimani is. He's got hundreds of American lives, blood on his hands. But what was sitting before us was his travels throughout the region and his efforts to make a significant strike against Americans. There would have been many Muslims killed as well, Iraqis, people in other countries as well. It was a strike that was aimed at both disrupting that plot, deterring further aggression. We hope setting the conditions for de-escalation as well. You need not look any further back than just the last few months. Dozens and dozens of attacks against American and allied interests throughout the region by Iran and its proxies, culminating in what happened with an American killed on December 27th. But we've had artillery rounds fired in the direction of Americans to Iraqi facilities. There have been a series of actions, and we've watched that escalation take place. There was an American UAV shot down. The restraint that President Trump had shown was important. And it's now the time we needed to take action to restore deterrence. When I was the CIA director, we made very clear that these responses would be swift and decisive. We've now demonstrated that. I hope that the Iranian leadership will see that. They'll see American resolve and that their decision will be to de-escalate, to take actions consistent with what normal nations do. And in the event that they do not, in the event they go the other direction, I know that President Trump and the entire United States government is prepared to respond appropriately.
And that is the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. He spoke both with CNN and with Fox News on Friday morning. And the president, obviously, has been very front and center on this and speaking quite a bit about it over the past 2 days. So that's a sense of where we are and why we are here. As of this morning, thousands of mourners, again, in a funeral procession through Baghdad for General Qasem Soleimani, and there will be also a similar motorcade procession and funeral in Tehran when his body is moved there. You may have heard reports last night there was another attack, and initial inclination of the media was to speculate that it was another U.S. attack, but a CNN report says this morning that the coalition denies that there was an attack launched by coalition forces last night in Iraq. So we'll have more on that with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer this morning. But a coalition spokesman reported by CNN, coalition spokesman denying that a convoy that included Iran-backed popular mobilization forces was hit by an airstrike in Iraq on Saturday morning. And for some reason, there were reports out that there actually was an attack, and the coalition says it wasn't their attack. We're coming up on the 7 o'clock news on WMAL. John Gizzi's next, and again, the political angles on the Iran crisis. And also, we'll get the very latest on what's next for Julian Castro. And yet another Republican congressman will not run for re-election in 2020. We've got that coming up next with John Gizzi. Cheryl Atkinson is on the way. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. And also, we will be joined by K.T. McFarland. Stay with us on the Saturday Morning Update.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.
105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk.